Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to ZX English Podcast, and this is kind of a very unusual episode. Actually, at the moment, listeners, I'm on a train. I've never recorded an episode on a train. I'm on my way to Olomouc, which is a town where a friend of mine lives at the moment, and I'm going to visit her today. What happened is that I've just met a random person in a train compartment. It's quite unusual, actually, because I had a phone call and I had to sort something out on the phone. And when I hanged up, when my phone call ended, the guy sitting next to me in my compartment overheard in my phone conversation that I'm a teacher, I'm an English teacher. And because he's quite curious, he actually asked me what I teach. And then we started chatting. And I found out that he's actually one of the most suitable people who can be possibly interviewed on my podcast, because he spent some time in England. He lived in England, and apparently he can speak English. So, hello.
Hello, my name is Adam.
Nice to meet you, Adam.
Nice to meet you too.
I'm Zdeněk. I'm recording podcast, Zdeněk's English podcast, and welcome to my podcast. I've never recorded a random person before.
Okay, pleasure to be your guest.
Yeah, great. Basically, this is totally unprepared. It's going to be really spontaneous. So, from what you have told me, you lived in England for 1 year.
Yeah, nearly 1 year.
Nearly 1 year, and now you're back here in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
How long have you been back?
For 6 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
6 months, okay. So, do you feel home here, or did you... Is it hard for you to leave England?
I definitely feel home here, in the Czech Republic. Because I was born here, and I felt a bit like a stranger in England. This is my home.
But did you have a good time there?
Well, definitely. I did enjoy it in England.
So where did you live, actually?
I live in Norwich.
Norwich?
In Norwich, in Norfolk.
Uh-huh. Where is that?
It's a pretty nice town, an old town, and with nice people, and with nice accent.
Mm-hmm. So did you pick up the accent? Do you speak a little bit with this accent?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. I tried, but I failed, unfortunately.
You would probably have to stay there a bit longer.
At least 10 more years, I think.
Well, actually, it depends on how much you do for your English, of course. Because as we talked before, there are some people who have been living there for 10 years and they can't really speak English at all.
Yes, that's correct. I think they didn't pick it up much, but I didn't either.
Well,
the accent there was really difficult for me. Actually, I wasn't even able to pronounce the area where I lived properly. That's a shame, isn't it?
Well, tell me again, where about is it? Like in the northeast or southeast?
I would say southeast.
Southeast?
It's a 3 hour journey from London to get there.
It shouldn't be that different. Is it that different from like London accent? Have you ever heard London accent?
Actually, I haven't, but they told me it's very similar to London.
Yes, it must be, because to be honest with you, I find Manchester accent and the accents from the north even harder to understand. Like, it's very close to Scottish, you know?
Yeah, they are very difficult to understand.
So you were actually lucky to live in such area. I mean, it's obviously interesting to live among Scottish people, but it's much harder to pick it up, to get the grips with it.
Definitely. I met a guy from Manchester. I wasn't able to pick up a single word.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Because he's from Manchester, he speaks a little bit like that. It's really hard to copy. I can't really do that. It's about intonation as well, you know. No, I can't do it. I was just trying to copy the accent, but I can't do it.
Impossible.
Yeah, for me, definitely. So, what do you do? What's your job here?
My current job is administrator at an optimization office. I work at the petrochemical industry in the north of the Czech Republic.
It's very industrial area, I would
like
say.
Liberec?
No, near Litvínov.
There is
a huge refinery.
Yeah.
The biggest one in Czech Republic.
Okay, I know whereabouts it is. And now you, we met on the train, and you are on your way to Vsetín, which is.
That's the place where I was born.
Really? So you're going home today?
Yeah, I'm going home to visit my parents.
Oh, Litvínov and Vsetín. They're not within a stone's throw, are they? They're quite far away from each other.
It's a long way.
It's a long way. So how long do you have to travel on this train?
I think approximately 5 hours.
5 hours?
Yeah, it's a 5 hour journey.
You must be happy that you met me, because now I'm going to kill some time for you with recording this podcast. Yeah.
Yes,
plus, it will make you famous, because obviously my podcast is listened to by thousands of people. Not yet.
At least,
it will be listened by many more people since this episode with you, of course, because you're famous and everybody knows you in Litvínov, Vsetín and Norfolk and everywhere. Yeah,
definitely.
So you told me that you studied at the university before.
Yes, I did.
So what did you?
I studied management.
So did you
as a bachelor?
You graduated.
Yes, I graduated in business, in management, and then I studied finance because I was finding it more interesting. I like maths and business. Management is more about theory.
Hmm.
There is not so much maths.
And so you like practice more, like
yeah, it's more
counting.
Yeah, it's more counting, more practicing,
but
playing with numbers.
That's what you are after.
Yeah,
that's what you like. Pretty interesting. But could you do something like that? Basically, you went to England after you had graduated at university. Do I understand it?
Yes, straight away. One month later.
Well, this is a great idea to visit a foreign country after graduating from any school, basically, because then it's not easy to do it when you are in the middle of a term or something. It's more appropriate to do it after you finish a school, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, but you didn't work there as a mathematician, really, did you?
No, I really didn't.
That would be really interesting. The Czech mathematician comes to England and conquers the world there with numbers, you know. No, you didn't. So what did you do there?
Yes, first I worked as a warehouse operator. That was my
warehouse
first job.
Warehouse operator?
Yes, warehouse operator.
What does it mean?
It sounds pretty sophisticated.
It does.
It's a usual worker at a warehouse, nothing special.
I know. I used to work in a warehouse too when I was in England.
Then you definitely know what I mean.
I know what you mean with the pallet truck and wheelbarrow.
No. I wasn't allowed to operate this.
Really?
No, too sophisticated.
So, even the not even the forklift.
No way.
You need to have a license for this, I think.
I was allowed to use only my hands.
Okay, so what? I presume you just moved some boxes from place A to place B, right? That's what you did? Some boxes or?
In general.
Wrapping, unwrapping boxes.
Pieces of glass.
Pieces of glass?
Yes, pieces of glass.
That must be quite dangerous.
Huge windows.
Really?
It really was.
I did it like once, because I was working like for a recruitment agency. At first.
So did I.
Yeah. And what we had what we had to do always was that they gave us kind of a map every day in the morning and told us where we have to go. We had to use the tube station, and it was pretty exciting because we never knew where we would end up each day.
So similar to me.
Yeah. And once we went to this huge building. It was like a construction site. It was almost built, and they were fitting in the windows. And we were moving some windows actually too. So I remember I had similar experience like you. And actually there was something happened to me there. I had like a injury problem, because a piece of glass ended up in my eye actually. It was pretty nasty. And then I had to see some kind of a nurse or I don't know if she was a doctor, I don't think so.
It's horrible.
It is, and it was like a little, tiny little piece of glass, and I could feel some burning sensation inside, and then she took it out, and it was fine. But it was horrible. I was like scared, you know. I was like scared I wouldn't see again or something like that. Because I never had. I was young. I was like 20. I didn't know what.
Did you wear glasses?
Probably not. Safety first in England. Yeah, safety first.
That's a shame.
I know. But ever since then, I always wore the glasses, of course. Well, almost always. Yeah. So you worked in a warehouse, and you had to work with some glass, move glass, or
yeah, I moved glass, yeah. huge windows, did but you, without frames, yeah.
So
it was the first step. So just windows.
So what? How did you carry it? Just with your bare hands?
With my bare hands.
Really?
Unfortunately, yes, it was very difficult, and I put it on a barrel. And then, when the barrow was full, I was supposed to move the whole barrow of glass.
Alone, just on your own?
Yeah, on my own. It was horribly heavy and wow.
Okay, hold on.
I suffered.
If you are saying these things, this just doesn't sound like England to me, because in English they are so much aware of all these security or safety measures. And they always take a lot of precautions so that this doesn't happen. They have such strict rules, you know, and you all have to follow them. All those inductions you have to take.
Yes, I know.
How come this happened, that you were asked to move such heavy load of glass? I just don't understand this. It doesn't sound like England. Are you sure you're talking to me about England?
I'm not the right person who can answer this question, but that's...
So it was your boss, maybe? You had a terrible boss who let you do this?
I'm not sure, but usually I needed just to spin it over.
Yeah, and then it...
To be able to use the other side of the barrow. Mm. But there was a kind of track, but they didn't want to use it, because if you wanted just to spin it, waste of time.
So did you have anyone to help you, or did you just work?
I worked on my own. It was horrible.
So this was your job description. This is what you had to do.
Yeah, just to
it was only you for this
sorting
job.
Sorting of pieces of glass of
like
these
piling it up
of these windows. Yeah, piling it out. You needed to sort it according to
sizes, maybe.
Yeah, according to sizes and different numbers, and then to spin. To spin the barrows, to use the other side, and that's it. My job. I did it for... Yes, there were 10-hour shifts. Wow, I was so...
So how long did you do this job? How long did you work as a... operator?
6 or 7 months.
Warehouse operator?
For 6 or 7 months, yes. Mm-hmm. Warehouse operator.
I guess I had a similar job, because I worked as a laborer on a construction site, but it was... This sounds even more more difficult. I worked as a laborer on a construction site in Romford, which is a part in London, eastern part in London, and we worked under T Clark, which is electrical company, and we had to move like cable drums, huge cable drums. Sometimes we could use the pallet truck or a wheelbarrow. Sometimes we just rolled it over. Sometimes we moved some other material, like they call it unit strut, or some trays, which is basically some piece of metal which you use for putting the cable in. And we had to carry it from one place to another, to sort of to bring it to the electricians, so that they could use it for their work. But there were a lot of us to do this, because it was a huge construction site, so it wasn't boring, because I was with my colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Was it exhausting? How did you find the job?
Not so much. It was all right. We could take our time. I mean, we had to work hard, but nobody was forcing you to, you know, to kill yourself. Our boss was English, and he was quite reasonable, and he wanted us to do the job, and when we did the job, he gave us some free time, if it was possible. It was all right. It's quite a fair job, actually. So what else? What else can you tell us about your English?
English experience
or
working experience?
Yeah.
My second job was a cook.
A cook. Oh, that's pretty different. Pretty different.
Yeah, but I was there just to help.
Okay.
The real cooks.
You didn't really cook anything.
No. I cannot say that. Mm-hmm. I was just helping.
But did you maybe learn something from the real cooks or chefs? Call them chefs.
Yes, I did. Something. Uh-huh.
So
not
can
much.
You cook now?
I pick up something, but
really
not much.
Uh-huh. What kind of restaurant was it?
It was a small restaurant. They were specialized in fast food.
Okay.
Yeah, it was more like a fast food restaurant, I would say. Mm.
So what was your specialty?
Specialty? I prepared some parts of hamburgers, such as the buns.
Did you eat it? I mean, okay,
yeah.
Obviously we know fast food is not really healthy. And
I'm afraid
people get fat a lot when they eat it. So did you eat it a lot?
They definitely do, but not if they work there at the same time.
Okay.
If you work at a restaurant at such a chain, it's a kind of slavery, I would say.
Uh-huh. So
you work really hard.
You become fed up with it, maybe a little bit. So you don't want to eat it, or do you eat it a lot? Like, is it for free?
Not
is
my
it?
Case. I ate it a
is
lot.
Is the food for free for you? Like for the employees?
In small amounts. I wasn't allowed to eat as much as I wanted, just small amounts.
Maybe it's good, you know?
But anyway, my intake could be as much as 2,000 calories.
Oh my god.
Maybe even more,
okay.
I don't know, just during my shift.
Okay.
Horrible. But
if you could compare those two jobs, which one did you like better and why? Because these are quite pretty different, like pretty far away jobs.
It's difficult to say. Both jobs had pros and cons,
uh-huh.
And I cannot say which job was better.
Uh-huh. But definitely it was great experience to...
Yeah, it was great experience.
To do both these jobs. And maybe now that you have come back, you can value actually your real job. The one that you're doing here.
Yeah. That's correct. I really...
Because people can't sometimes judge other people until they try it themselves. You know what I mean?
I do.
It's really great if you have opportunity to try different things in life, and then you can talk to people about it.
Yeah, I do enjoy my current job, and I think the working experience helped opened my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Broadened your horizons.
Yes, I fully realized that I want to live here in the Czech Republic.
Uh-huh.
I want to work here. I want to have a family here.
Uh-huh.
Before I went to England, I thought, okay, I'm not really happy here. I should try and travel somewhere because I don't really like this country much. You know, when you read or listen to news,
especially when you have this opportunity,
pretty dissatisfied when you read or listen to current news.
When you most notice it is when you actually come back. Right, or when you go there, it's like the transitions. That's when you notice it the most, and then you can see the huge contrast. Like when I went there, it was like I went to London, and everything was so simple there. Like you could buy everything easily. They use the credit cards, you know, the machines for the credit card readers everywhere.
Hmm.
So.
It's so different.
Yeah.
I think what's problem most of Czech population complain about
so
the current situation a lot, and what they would need is to travel somewhere.
Yeah.
For example, I think especially to West to see the situation there. What is it to live there?
how is it different and what people have to do, how much they have to work hard for it.
Definitely.
And their attitudes to life, and people are happy to have job there. And they are more optimistic. We always only grumble and complain about everything.
That's our problem. Horrible problem.
I know, right?
People are so happy there, even if they got a horrible job, for example.
Yeah, I know. For us.
As I had.
Uh-huh.
And they were happy.
You were happy to have this job. And like you were optimistic and everybody could talk to you. But here, like, if you look at these people, you can't even ask how the person is here. If you ask somebody, how are you?
Are you kidding me?
I'm like shit, you know, we say mam se na hovno. It's like I'm, you know, it's terrible. But it's just the attitude, yeah?
Yeah, people are so pessimistic here. Uh-huh. It's a kind of sickness.
I totally agree with you. That's why I run this podcast, because I want to make this place better place to live, you know? It's a huge challenge, isn't it?
At least.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if there is a happy end, but...
Happy ending. Maybe there is. We will see. But at least we try.
We should try.
We should always try, you know.
People need to travel more. The problem is Czech people don't travel much.
Mm.
And they don't have any idea what's the living there in the West.
Mm.
They see only the situation through their screens on TV, and they
think, it's distorted. It's not real world.
Yes, definitely.
They have to feel it. They have to live it. They have to give it a go themselves, and to see how this is, right? But it's really hard to decide to do such things. It's almost impossible for all the people, because they have families. They're like kind of deeply rooted here already, and it's difficult for them. For young people, it's much easier nowadays. Right, and a lot of them go there, I think, but you still think not enough. Yeah,
a high ratio of young people travel abroad, and therefore the situation will definitely change, because a new generation will already have this kind of experience, and their thinking, their mentality will be absolutely different, I think.
So in maybe 10 years time, everything might be different than it is now. So actually maybe people won't be pessimistic. And what I dislike about Czech people is the way they are xenophobic and the racism, and, you know, it just, when they, for example, imagine when we are on a train here, and what if a black person walked past this compartment, like, if there were some Czech people, they would like move their heads, you know, in the direction of this person, like, who is this? Like, they have never seen a black person before. That's unfortunately the attitude of Czech people. Mm. They just know this from the TV, and that's all.
Yes, I agree.
But for us, we have this experience, so we can see it a little bit differently. I hope the values of people, of Czech people, will change one day.
It will.
I think a lot of listeners of my podcast can actually relate to this, because they come from, for example, Russia, where the situation, I dare say, is even worse in this. You know that today the Winter Olympic Games actually are starting, and you know the problem with homosexuality.
Yeah,
it's like anti-gay campaign, and it's like, I like Russian people. I have a lot of Russian students. Some of them are very good friends of mine, and they themselves disagree with this. But it's like, how is it possible in the 21st century? You know. So these guys, some of them would, especially those who are in charge, they also need their eyes to be opened. You know. So for us, if you're like the Czech Republic, we are really close to the West. Maybe. If we go more to the east, the situation is even more alarming in this.
This will change with a new generation, with young people. That's the problem. Because the old generation didn't travel much, because they weren't allowed.
They weren't allowed. During communism,
it was borders were
forbidden.
Closed.
And they could only travel to the east.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
The situation in the East was pretty much the same like here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they couldn't learn anything new.
Yeah.
New methods of anything.
In general, they know only one area, one style of thinking. Yeah. Nothing different.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think the mentality was twisted, kind of twisted because of the Communist Party.
Yeah, definitely.
People, I think people
we must say that we are really lucky to live in this era.
Yes, I'm really lucky for it.
Yeah, because you know we had the chance to go and live abroad, and as I said, it opened our horizons, and now we are maybe different people. Better people. Hopefully. Okay. You also told me that your girlfriend actually studies English.
Yes.
What is she studying?
She studies English and American literature.
Like culture studies.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Culture studies.
In the second largest city in the Czech Republic, in Brno.
That's correct.
Right. So, do you speak English to her? Is she Czech?
Usually I don't, because
so where do you
she doesn't like it much, I think, because...
Does she speak better than you?
She definitely does.
Really?
Much better.
Because your English is not too bad, actually.
Well, nice
of
you.
I'm really surprised. Your English is quite good.
You picked... I can see you picked up a lot. In England, you are already nice as they are.
No, I mean it. Like
it's typical English approach. Your English is nice, and a typical Czech person. Your English is not bad.
But you forgot that I'm also a teacher, and I have to motivate my students. You're not my student.
Good job.
I'm really grateful that you agreed to record this podcast. It looked like you're a pretty confident guy. Like majority of Czech people would say, no, please, no. But for you, it seemed like it's pretty normal to to record episodes of podcasts on the train, you know, with people you don't know.
It's a challenge, but...
You feel very comfortable recording this episode. I'm maybe more stressed and nervous than you.
I'm stressed. You cannot see it. Because
okay, because you can hide it very well.
Yes.
You can bottle up your emotions.
Yes, I'm really good at it.
Oh, right. Great. Let the listeners of the podcast judge. So, tell me one thing. You have been here for half a year. Okay.
Yes, that's
yes.
Great.
And what do you do for your English? How do you keep in touch with... How do you...
The only word which comes to my mind is maintain. But
thanks, that's it. How do you maintain?
I don't think so.
It's okay. You can use it.
I'm not sure if
sometimes different words can be used in different contexts. And
okay.
This is like metaphor. It can be used. How do you maintain your English? Because it must be maintained. Like any kind of equipment, house.
All right, I'm doing my best, but it's an endless job, I think.
Do you feel
English
like
in the Czech Republic?
Do you feel
easy?
Like you're going down the hill now that you're back? It happened to me when I came back. It happened to me. Is it still improving or is it getting worse because you are back here and you don't have the exposure to English language like you had over there?
Well, actually, I'm feeling a slight improvement.
Really? That's great.
Yeah,
that's
but
great.
Just a slight.
Why?
Slight.
So how? What do you do for your English? How do you maintain it? I don't know. I can't. I can't work out a word which we could use for this. What do you do for your English to remain at the same level, or even make it better?
I read in English a lot.
Mm. So what kind of books do you read?
The last book I finished was called City Boy.
Okay.
Some of you might know it. It's about a boy from the city.
Yeah,
yes,
I thought so.
And it's about loafing there and about the
what do you mean
horrible world.
Loafing? Oh, it's about law.
No.
What do you mean loafing? What is loafing?
Loafing. I don't know. That's the word I picked up there.
Oh, okay. But what kind of genre is it? Is it novel?
Literature of fact.
Okay.
So I would say
it,
yes.
Is it non-fiction? Is it like
it's non-fiction.
Or?
It shows the reality before the world crisis.
Okay. So it describes somebody's real experience. Like, is it based on real?
On huge bonuses in the city and horrible practices which ruled there. It was just about money and
kind of about bureaucracy, about how money rules the world.
Yeah, how money rules the world. Definitely,
okay.
That's the right.
Okay,
that's the
and
right.
It's seen from the point of view of this person.
Yeah, the writer really lived this.
So is it
life.
Biography? Is it first person narration?
Yeah, it's narration.
It's first
narration.
Person. So the main character is the narrator.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Okay, interesting.
Interesting.
You read in English a lot? Now, can you give some tips to my listeners? How do you read in English? Obviously, there might be some words you see for the first time.
Mm.
And I have the same experience. At the moment, I'm reading the Game of Thrones. I'm sure you know this.
Yes,
And sometimes I find some words quite hard to understand. I can usually I know some strategies and kind of techniques how to cope with unknown words, you know, because I know English grammar and I just kind of sometimes guess it what it could mean. But sometimes you don't really know what the word means. So maybe what could you recommend?
I'm not sure if I'm the right person. According to my girlfriend, my strategy is horrible.
Really? What do you do?
It's the worst possible strategy you can use. Yes.
What do you do?
Because I need to know every word in the book.
Okay.
I cannot go on if I don't know the exact meaning of the word.
Listen, I think I would oppose to your girlfriend. I think it's a good strategy, bearing in mind that you are a patient person.
Yes, I am.
It doesn't make you not want to finish reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sometimes
if it's like I get bored when this happens. When I have to use my dictionary too much, I get bored and I stop reading. But if you are patient enough to do this, you know, to check every word that you don't know, then I think it's not a problem. It's maybe it kind of slows down the process of reading. It will take you longer time to read it, to finish it, but who cares, you know? It's just, as long as you enjoy reading it, I don't think...
Yes, I'm patient enough. I always finish the book, but my problem is that sometimes I know the exact meaning of each word, but I don't know what the story is about.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so then I agree with your girlfriend that this strategy is not the best one.
Yes. But
so maybe you shouldn't worry too much about understanding every single word, and just you know what I do? I look up the words which occur more often. It's like maybe it's the fifth time I see this word in the book, and it's like, okay, now I really have to look it up because it's not once used.
The
it's
same
more times.
What my girlfriend does.
It's really maybe.
She recommended me this.
Mm, maybe you could enjoy reading the story much more if you did this.
I think so.
So give it a go next time and you will see.
But it's a kind of obsession.
Is it obsession? Is it
I cannot stop.
You can't stop, yeah? You have to do it this way.
Yeah.
You have to do it your way. Is it because
you're stubborn
or is it just because you can't teach an old dog new tricks? I mean, you don't look that old. Actually, I think you might be younger than me. How old are you?
26.
Yeah, you are younger than me. So
good for me.
Yeah. Well,
no,
bad for
I'm
me.
I'm kidding. Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. I'm used to my students telling me that I'm old already. You know, one of my students told me, he's from Peru, that I'm losing hair.
Well, so am I.
Well, yeah, but okay, it's even worse for you because now everybody will think you are older. Okay, right. So, I don't know. Is there anything else you can talk about?
Regarding my learning habits, as far as English is concerned, well.
You use very nice structures in English, as far as my English is concerned. Not everybody is able to use this. Wow!
But
it sounds academic, though, a bit.
They are kind of funny, because I need to tell you a story.
Okay, tell me a story.
I started...
It's funny already, you know? You haven't even started.
I started with these, I would say... book phrases, and when I arrived to England and started my job at the warehouse, there was a guy, he was absolutely covered with tattoos, they were all over his body.
Okay.
And I approached him and I needed a kind of advice.
Really? On what? On your future tattoo?
No. Something about the barrow or I don't know. Something about the job.
Something about the job.
And I used the phrase, could you give me some words of advice? And he was like, he started laughing and stared at me. Uh-huh. Are you kidding me?
Once my friend, who came to visit me to England, did something similar. He wanted to ask a person to remove his sweater from the seat because he wanted to sit down on a tube. And he said, excuse me, can I please you?
Lovely.
Yeah. And he just wanted to ask him to move the sweater. So I really understand. It must be really tough sometimes, you know.
A good phrase, but at a bad time, I think.
Yeah, bad timing.
Wrong time.
Wrong time, yeah. Anyway, I just have to make one remark, one important remark to my listeners. Listeners, my guest on the podcast, when he says he used to work in a warehouse, it doesn't actually mean that he used to work in a whorehouse. Okay, those are two different places to work, okay?
All right.
So what is a warehouse? Can you clarify it to my listeners, to those who might still a little bit hesitate about where you worked?
All right, to clarify this, it's a huge building when you assemble something, a thing from...
It's like a storage area, isn't it?
Yeah, storage area.
For some companies.
Yeah.
Where they need to...
A huge storage area. Mm.
For example, they plant...
Not a place where somebody can please you, right?
All right. You know that they plan to build an Amazon warehouse here,
really?
In the Czech Republic, Amazon.com or .couk or something, and they plan to build it somewhere near a village, and the whole population of this village protested against it. It's like they wrote a petition or something.
Well, I don't understand why it's a great opportunity to find a job. But
well, yes, but then you have like green people, those who don't like big factories around and trees being cut down, you know, and things like that. So I don't know.
All right. I don't know.
You never heard of this?
No.
Haven't heard of this?
But anyway, I need to remind you that I've already got a job here in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in this field.
Well, I'm not offering it to you. I don't even know if it's
I left it behind in England.
Okay. This ambition is already gone, yeah?
It is.
Okay. All right. Well, really cool to have you here and to have this opportunity to record you on the podcast. Really, it will be a really interesting episode because it's really spontaneous and random, and I had a 10-minute chat before recording this with you in Czech, and on the basis of this, I decided to ask you some questions. So I don't really know you, And now I found out more about you from recording and speaking English with you, which is a bit ridiculous that we are speaking English because we are Czechs, right? But sometimes people do ridiculous things in order to save the world, and that's exactly what we are doing here. All right, do you have anything else to say to the listeners of my podcast? Do you plan on listening to this?
I'm sorry.
Would you like to? Do you intend to listen to this when it is published?
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah. To listen to it when it's published.
Have you ever recorded yourself? Like,
no,
have
never.
You ever listened to your own voice? It's pretty interesting experience, I have to tell you.
Really?
Most of people, they just freak out.
Yes,
it's horrible. Is this really me?
Yes,
is this how I sound?
Yeah, the same. I'm afraid of hearing my voice.
But
I'm pretty sure it sounds horrible.
It's actually really, really cool. Really cool, and you did a great job.
Okay.
And your English was at a good level, and grammar was fine. You know, sometimes I record my students, and their English is not perfect, but it's still listenable. As a teacher and the host of this podcast, I help them. I ask easier questions. When they don't understand, I ask them differently. But with you, it was like a piece of cake. Recording this, it was a piece of cake. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, honestly, this
nice of you.
Yeah, it's a well-deserved compliment. So I just hope you listen to this, and now tell everybody in Vsetín that there is the next English podcast, and it kind of is the best thing to improve their English.
All right, thank
all
you.
Right.
I will.
I want this from you in exchange. That's all. That's all I'm asking. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. And bye.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to speak to you on your broadcast. Bye bye.
Bye.